Today's recording is Lizchus in the merit of Gila Shira Bas Necha, that Hashem should show revealed compassion upon her to bring her healing in all things spiritual, mental, and physical. You ever wonder why God doesn't answer your prayers? Sometimes you've been davening, beseeching God for something for a long time, could be weeks, months, or even years, and there doesn't seem to be any response from God at all. And that could be one of the most frustrating things for a person that's trying to daven and trying to do what the Torah says, which is to ask God for stuff that we need. And sometimes it just seems like God isn't listening. Now, of course, rationally, we understand that that's not true. We believe that God is aware of us every single moment, more than we're aware of our own bodies. So, of course, he's quote-unquote listening, so to speak. But then emotionally, we get so hurt, then why isn't he responding? Why doesn't Hashem respond to our prayers? Why doesn't he give us what we're asking for? And especially, we believe that the Torah promises that we'll get rewarded when we do mitzvahs, when we serve Hashem. And it seems to be like I'm trying to be a good Jew and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do for Hashem. And so often, it seems like he's not giving me the reward that I'm expecting, that I'm hoping for. So I want to share with you a story that I heard from the person itself that the story happened with that I think about often when I get frustrated about that same question. I heard the story from a Jew whose name is Ramata Lifshitz. Ramata Lifshitz, he passed away a couple of years ago. Ramata Lifshitz was a Lubavitcher Chassid, a follower of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Ayatz, even though he had actually never met him. Which is incredible because with incredible self-sacrifice, he continued to practice Judaism under the communists as a chassid of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, even though he never met him. He, in fact, didn't meet any Rebbe until 1988 when he met our Rebbe. But all his years until then, he had never met a Rebbe physically, and yet he sacrificed himself to the extent that he was arrested by the communists and thrown into Siberia for years. On the charge of being an agent of the Schneersons. That's what the communists used to call those that were promulgating Judaism in Russia under the communists. Agents of the Schneerson. Schneerson being, of course, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And for that, he was thrown into Siberia. And then later on, he was transferred to a worse labor camp that the slaves used to say that Siberia was like paradise compared to that camp. This worse camp that he was transferred to, people would jump off the train to get shot because that would be better than going to this camp. And this Ramata Lifshitz should spend time in that forced slave labor camp. So over 20 years ago, I sat with Ramata Lifshitz and he told me the following story that when he was in Siberia, the freezing cold was so horrible that there were times he just couldn't move his hands. I mean, there was temperatures like minus 40, minus 50 Fahrenheit. He said there were times he couldn't move his hands. And every single day, people would die from the freezing cold. And when the prisoners would die, the communists, the Russians, would just take the bodies and throw them over the fence so that the polar bears could eat the bodies because the ground was too frozen to be able to dig up graves. So they would just throw the bodies over the fence to give them to the bears. And Ramata Lifshitz says that he would see friends of his, people that he would work with one day that would be standing next to him. And the next day he would see their bodies being eaten up by bears. And he said, Ramata Lifshitz, that every single day he would daven to Hashem. And his prayer was that he should be zoicha lekever Yisrael, that he should merit to be buried in the Jewish way of being buried. That was his fantasy. He said that was what he was hallucinating about. He didn't think that would ever be possible. He thought he was going to die. Like, he thought for sure he was going to die there in Siberia and that he would be thrown to the bears. And so, like, his biggest dream, which he thought was unrealistic. He was sure that, like, imagine, like, somebody's davening for something like almost a miracle. He was, like, davening, begging God his greatest fantasy should be fulfilled, that he should merit to be buried like a Jew, to have a regular burial. And Ramata Lifshitz, I remember him. I remember he laughed. He giggled and he said, and God must have been laughing at me the whole time while I was davening. That the shaita, the silly person, is asking to be buried like a Jew, that he should be zecher to kever Yisrael, that this is what this guy is davening for. I'm going to still give him a long life, children, great-grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so much more. And my batel is davening that he should merit to be buried properly. May we all merit that God should laugh at our prayers in such a way. And I think that that's the deeper meaning of what we say every day in davening, every time at the beginning of Shemina Esrei, we begin the Amidah prayer by saying, we say, call God, Goymel Chasodim Toivim, the one that does good acts of kindness. That Hashem, we say, is Goymel Chasodim Toivim, that Hashem does good acts of kindness. Now, everyone always asks, that seems to be superfluous. Chesed, an act of kindness, is always good. What does it mean we're saying that Hashem does chasadim toivim, good acts of kindness? So everyone always says that the meaning is because we really don't even know what's good for us. Of course, we have to daven what we believe to be good for us, what we want, what we need. It's a mitzvah from the Torah to pray to God for what you need. But we really don't even know what's good for us. Sometimes what we're davening for is actually really bad for us. It's like, imagine a kid, a six-year-old kid, begging to be able to go by himself to a store or something, and you know how dangerous that is, whatever it is, and therefore you deny the kid what they're asking for, and the kid starts screaming, but you know that you know it's not good for them. So Evan always says that when we ask Hashem chasadim toivim, we're asking Hashem to do kindness for us that's also good for us, not something that's bad for us. But I think based on the story that I heard from Ramata Lifshitz, it's even more than that. Sometimes we ask Hashem to do kindness. We're asking Hashem for something and we're sure that this is going to bring us happiness in life. And it's not that it's bad for us, but it's nowhere near, like the story with Ramata Lifshitz, it's nowhere near what Hashem has in store for us, what Hashem really wants to give us. It's like davening to be zeicha, to merit to be buried as a Jew, when in fact one is supposed to live for another 50, 60 years with have so much good things. So sometimes what we're davening for isn't good enough for us. Not that it's good for us, it's not good enough for us. And therefore Hashem laughs at us, and therefore we pray that Hashem should always be laughing at us exactly that way, like he did with Ramata Lifshitz. And of course we ask that Hashem should give us toiva, nirva, nigla, that Hashem should reveal to us in our lives, that we should see openly that it's good for us. Well, of course we want that. We ask for that from Hashem as well. But what we have to believe with complete faith is that at the end of the day, God answers all our prayers and he always rewards us. But sometimes what we think is what we want and what we need, Hashem is laughing and saying, my kinder, my little child, I'm going to give you so much more than that. May we see that openly in our lives, how Hashem is a gemel chasadim toivim, that he gives us so much more than we are even asking for.